makes this commandment to bless, he's telling the Moabite king, I cannot reverse it. It is irreversible. Verse 21. Now verse 23, 21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, that is the nation of Israel, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, that is with the descendants of the man Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, what we know as the nation of Israel, and the shout of a king is among them. The shout of a king that is among them is a prediction of a future king that will arise that will cause a great deal of shouting and acclamation and praise to be offered to God through this king. In verse 17, in Numbers 24, 17, he tells us about this king. He says, and I shall see him. Balaam says, one day I shall see him. A lot of people ask me, was Balaam saved? Yeah, I think he was, because he makes this statement and I believe it's true. He said, I shall see him, this king, this coming Messiah, but not now. He said, I can't see him now, but he said, one day I will. He said, I shall behold him, but not nigh. He said, it's not something that's going to happen right away. One day I will behold him. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Lord willing, on Sunday, we're going to talk about this star out of Jacob. Of course, the star was the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, predicted here by Balaam, way back there in the book of Numbers, in the law of Moses that was given the first five books of the Bible. Tonight, we're not going to talk about the star of Jacob and the connotations it has to Christ. He is the star out of Jacob. We'll do that, Lord willing, Sunday. What we're going to talk about is what it says next. And a scepter shall rise out of Israel. He said, this king will be a scepter bearer, and that scepter will arise out of Israel. He is referring to the coming Messiah, and we're going to pay very close attention to this particular scepter and remember the law of the Medes and Persians as we go through it, because the way this scepter is used by the king of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know as our Messiah, is very interesting. Taking a look now at Esther 4 and 11, we're going to look in the law of the Medes and Persians, particularly in the time of Esther, how this favor thing was used and how this scepter was used to either grant favor or to grant disfavor. It was up to the king whichever way he wanted to do it. Esther 4 and 11. Whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death. He may take that scepter, point it toward the man, and say, thou art condemned to the gallows. He may condemn him to death. It may be an unfavorable thing that the king does with that particular scepter that he holds in his hand, which is the symbol of his power and authority. But then he lists the exception. Except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. Here is a picture of a king. A man comes into his presence. The man has nothing to offer him. The man is totally at the mercy of the king. And the king is either going to impart favor or disfavor to him. But if he imparts favor, this man will live, and even the king cannot reverse himself. Now let's take a look, remembering all this, at Hebrews 1 and 8. We're now, of course, moving into the New Testament. And it refers back to the same principle that I've been discussing. Hebrews 1 and 8. But unto the Son, of course, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings, Lord of lords, over the kingdom of God. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. That's very interesting. He makes this a scepter of righteousness. The scepter that will arise out of Jacob, out of the man Israel, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scepter that he bears is a scepter of righteousness, and it's the scepter of thy kingdom. With that in mind, let's take a look at this scepter. Hebrews 1 and 8. Here's your scepter, and it's a scepter of righteousness, and it's in the hand of the King of kings, Lord of lords, God of gods, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look back at the law of the Medes and Persians, the irreversible things that were stated that cannot be changed. Hebrews 1 and 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Galatians 3, 6, and 7. When we come into the presence of Christ, he is King of kings, Lord of lords. He has bought back and restored the kingdom. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said just before he gave the great commission that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him. When a lost person comes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has nothing to offer God. He has no righteousness of his own. He is totally at the mercy of God. If, like the publican, he cries out from his heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If in his heart he is convicted of sin and places his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he exercises repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ without works or anything else of the flesh being involved, then God holds out that sepulcher of righteousness to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, 6, and 7, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The righteousness of God is the sepulcher that he extends to all men in Christ Jesus, and it is a scepter of righteousness. And once it has been exercised, it cannot be reversed. And it was not just for Abraham, but it is also for us. Continuing Galatians 3 and 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The same promise that God gave and fulfilled to Abraham is available to all men today. When we come into his presence, we are completely void of anything that would ever make us acceptable to God. Our righteousness is non-existent. If it were existent, it would be a filthy rage. There is nothing that we have ever done or ever could do to justify ourselves before God. So when we come to the presence of the King, we have to come into his presence totally dependent upon his mercy. And he extends out to us that sepulcher of righteousness, and he imparts to us the righteousness of Christ, and it can never be reversed. In Matthew 6:33, this is very interesting. The first New Testament church had already been traveling with Jesus for some time. He had already organized it during his earthly ministry. And yet in Matthew 6:33, even after they have the imputed righteousness of Christ, even after they have been scripturally baptized, he tells them to do something else. In Matthew 6:33, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How do you seek the righteousness of God? By positioning your place, yourself, in the place that God designates you to be, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Yes, God indwells each believer. Yes, when you receive Christ as your Savior, he comes and lives in you. Yes, you are born again, and he will never leave you nor forsake you, and the righteousness that has been imputed cannot be reversed. But if you are going to seek after the righteousness of Christ, you need to be in one of his local churches, you need to be there serving faithfully, and you need to have a commitment to it. Even after you have the imputed righteousness of Christ, and heaven is absolutely assured, and the process cannot be reversed, there is meant to be in you something that is supposed to be in all children of God. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Every single child of God that has Christ living in them, if they will not quench it, if they will not try to put it out, if they will let the light shine forth, there is a natural hunger inside you in the person of Jesus Christ, who, as he told his Mary mother and his father Joseph, he said, "Wish ye not that I be about my Father's business." Even though we have an imputed righteousness, even though our souls are sealed eternally, God means for us to continue to put out a light in the world, and as long as we are seeking after the righteousness of Christ and to be like him, then that light can never be quenched. It can never go out. We are the only ones who can put it out by our behavior as we walk through life. So particularly this time of year, and it should be every day of the year, we ought to be more mindful of Christ, and we ought to be walking through life, and we ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, let's take one quick look at this, and believe it or not, I am going to let you have your 30 minutes. I want you to notice, continuing in Hebrews 1 and 8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." Hebrews 1 and 8. Now I want you to notice in Daniel 6:15, the law of the Medes and Persians. "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed, not even by the king." That's why Nebuchadnezzar had to put Daniel in a den of lions. And nothing can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus once that scepter is held out. There's just one single requirement on your part. You have to reach out for that scepter. You have to want it. You have to come to it. You have to desire it. You have to come just as you are, like the publican, without one shred of righteousness in you whatsoever, without any ability that you have of your own to save yourself. And you have to come trusting the king to hold out that scepter to you. He does. It's there. It's available. When you come into him, you don't have to worry about disfavor. Because when you come to God, he has sacrificed his son so he can hold out the scepter to you and impart his righteousness to you. I want you to notice in this next scripture, "But to him that worketh not," and the scripture that we're involved in is Romans 4, 5 through 8. And as we read these verses, I want you to picture coming into the presence of God, coming into the scepter of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and he holds this out to you. Now notice these verses of Scripture and the irreversibility once you have received that scepter as your righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, there is joy in my heart every day of my life because I know that scepter has been extended to me and that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? Once the scepter is held out and you have received his imputed righteousness, never ever again will God impute sin to your soul, and you have heaven assured. This God whom we serve is so merciful that he will let you have his Son in you, and he will let you quench his Spirit, and he will let you live a life of your own and waste it and blow it. But when you do that, what God placed in you so that it might be a light to the world is covered and hidden and worthless except for your own salvation. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us will have to individually answer for how much light we show out into the world. And what we show into the world must not be of our own variation and our own idea. It must be in accordance with the Scriptures. I'm a stickler, not because I'm a stinker, but because the Word of God says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The Bible is very clear that God has chosen the local church through which his honor and glory is to be shown to the world. We are to be faithful in our attendance. We are to be faithful in our spiritual growth. We are to let the light of Christ that is in us grow brighter and brighter and brighter as we seek more and more after the things of God and less after the things of the world. In 1 John 3 and 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? Because the scepter has been held out. And when the scepter was held out, the imputed righteousness of Christ in the person of Jesus was placed inside me. And my soul cannot commit sin in God's eyes. Oh, my flesh commits sin in God's eyes. But Christ took my sins of the flesh in his own body on the tree and crucified them forever with him. And I've been set free from the penalty of sin and death that is in the law for the actual sins of my flesh. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him. Christ is in me. When Christ looks at me, when God looks at me, when the Father sees the sins in my flesh, he forgives me for Christ's sake. You say, well, you think you can sin and do anything you want. No, I will be punished for my sins in the flesh unless I confess them. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. It's irreversible. Once you have come to God, receive the imputed righteousness of his Son, it is an irreversible process. The scepter has been held out, and it can never be reversed. In Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. One of the most important principles in the Bible. And what separates true belief from false belief, and what separates true religion from false religion, is this next statement. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is all dependent upon the mercy and the grace and the love of Almighty God. You come into his presence seeking salvation with nothing to bring. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. When you finally reach the point in your life where you realize how totally helpless and lost you are, how totally dependent you are upon someone else to save you, and you come to Christ and you trust him, then what you're trusting in is the power and the zeal of Almighty God who performs it. This is the last verse. For all this his anger is not turned away. We are born under the condemnation of God. He wrote this to Israel, but it describes the basic characteristic of God. Every one of us is born under the condemnation of God. We are born totally, helplessly lost. We are born separated from God, dead in spirit. We are born condemned sinners, and his anger is upon us. But his hand is stretched out still. The thing that God extends out to all men is the scepter of righteousness, and his Son is the one who holds the scepter. When we come to Christ, he takes that scepter And he uses it to create in us an irreversible process of favor. He gives us the life of his Son. And it is irreversible and can never be changed. So we're going to go ahead now, and we're going to go ahead and let you have your program. And since you've got all these candles, then you might as well, and I'm sure you will, make the